Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hello and welcome to another Christmas special of the James Bond A to Z podcast. My name is Tom Butler and joining me to toast the festive season, he's not spending Christmas in Turkey this year, it's Mr. Brendan Duffy.
Ah, hello.
And the fairy on the top of the tree, he's wearing nothing but tinsel, it's Mr. Tom Wheatley.
All right.
You're back again.
I'm back, yeah.
Can't keep you away.
Well, you could. Well.
yeah, we thought we'd reunite for a Christmas special. And Brendan, what makes this one special? What are we drinking? That's a start. That's
Catafanta.
What does make this special?
We're in person. We've never done it in person before.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
We should be filming it, really. This is gold. Mm. Especially just to see Wheatley in tinsel. Actually, first of all, let's break the ice. What's your favourite Christmas movie? What's the Christmas movie that you always turn to when it's this time of year? Brendan? Do you have any?
Really sprung that on us, haven't you?
Well, you like a lot of Christmas films.
I do like a lot of Christmas films, but I have a rule. I only watch them in December.
Yeah.
Because watch them outside in December.
That's
normal.
My mum's been watching since the end of October, so...
Yeah, worth saying that we're recording this mid-November, right?
Yes. So I haven't watched one yet this year.
But what would you turn to?
But I would turn to... Well, the classics. It's going to be Home Alone.
Yeah.
Santa Claus. I really like the Santa Claus.
The movie?
Yeah. The Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus. Mm.
Oh, wait, with Tim Allen?
Tim Allen.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, he was going to pick that one. Right?
Yes, yeah. Of course I was.
Yeah. What about you, Wheatley?
Yeah. So I have different levels of Christmas film. I like the classics, so things like It's a Wonderful Life.
Can't beat it, yeah.
And then I would always go for maybe National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation as my go-to. I have to watch that.
To watch it.
But Arthur Christmas is the only Christmas film that's ever made me cry.
What's After Christmas?
Arthur Christmas.
Was it an Aardman?
It was an
Aardman,
yeah.
But it was CGE Aardman.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
We only watched that for the first time a couple of years ago. It is a really good Christmas movie. What's the bit that made you cry?
The bit at the end where they're all in the cupboard.
Right.
And they realise that Arthur is the one that should be Santa Claus.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the real tearjoker moment, isn't it? Yeah, that's
it.
It really is.
But Steve, I wonder if Gwen is right.
Oh, watch out! Beep, beep! Careful, I'm gonna bump into you!
Oh, no! I'll be the candle. You're better men than both of you.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation for me, always got to watch it. Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Well, that's an absolute must, but on Christmas Eve. Specifically.
Yeah. Specifically on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, because then Kermit's song makes sense, doesn't it?
Right, okay.
I do find that Muppet's Christmas Carol is... I like it. I watch it every Christmas, but it's sort of a filler one. You have it on. You're not necessarily watching.
You're wrong.
I just have it as filler in the background, but I do like it.
90 minutes of magic.
Yeah. Right. You've got kids though, so
yeah,
you haven't.
I don't.
No excuse.
Home Alone 2. You got to
Home
watch
Alone 3.
Home Alone 4. Bone Alone. Was that one with the dogs?
That was like an unofficial dog centre.
Is that the Home adult one?
Great. Well, there you go. That's our Christmas movies. And so, speaking of Muppet's Christmas Carol, we're going to go for a Christmas Carol on this episode. We're going to be visited by three Christmas spirits. throughout this episode. We're going to be visited by the ghost of Christmas Future.
And we thought he was going to give us some drinks then.
Yeah. We're going to be taking a look ahead to Bond 26. Obviously, we're going to take a visit from the ghost of Christmas Past, looking back over the events of the year. But first, we're going to be visited by the ghost of Christmas Present and have a look at the cultural highlights that we've enjoyed in 2023. Now, before you think, why aren't they talking about James Bond? Believe me, we will get there. But this is just like, I guess this is just the mince pie before the main
the
Christmas
turkey.
Dinner.
Yeah, does anybody have a mince pie before the turkey?
Yeah, okay, so cultural highlights of the year.
None, move on.
So, I mean, 2023, it's been an interesting year across movies, TVs and, you know, general events. Do you have any movies that you really enjoyed this year?
There's one, isn't there? Well, there's two.
Cool, and I'm
Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Is that really your top picks?
That's the event, isn't it?
Only event, yeah.
Biggest movie weekend since Avengers Endgame came out. So,
there you go.
Cinema is back, huge. Baby.
Yeah.
And occasionally, one weekend, every now and then.
But it did seem to sweep the whole country, didn't it?
It really did. Yeah. Well, it was two diametrically opposed movies that were programmed against each other, probably designed to cancel each other out, and all they did was amplify each other. It was an amazing...
I was still amazed. Did you do the thing where you saw both in a day? Because I thought that was madness. Just go two nights and have a different night.
I did two nights. Yeah. Which order did you do it in?
Well, I didn't even want to see Barbie. I think I actually wanted to see Oppenheimer. I went to see that. And then about 2 weeks later, I thought, I'll go and watch it because I don't have anything else to watch. But I definitely didn't want to watch Barbie initially.
But then you realised after you'd seen it that you made the
I'm glad I saw it. It was interesting, but...
I thought it was great.
Well, you would. You would. But I thought it was a well-made film, but I'm not going to watch it ever again.
What about the message, though? Did you not feel empowered?
I saw Oppenheimer first and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I waited for ages to see Barbie because I go to the cinema on my own generally.
Yeah. Oh, you got to be careful, haven't you?
And I feel like with Barbie, there was this huge movement of groups of women going together and like really making it their moment. And I just felt like I was like treading in their space. So I waited for ages to go see and went and saw it.
If I'd have thought about it that way, I would have loved to trod in their space.
Just got in really there, really, like, just be really misogynistic. Yeah. I really like Barbie. I found it really depressing though, like in terms of the message.
I actually found it more depressing than Oppenheimer. Which, you know, after I come out of it, I did feel...
Which is worse, nuclear apocalypse or misogyny?
Yeah.
But just in the terms of, like, I mean, in the feelings when I left the cinema, I was like, oh...
Well, I guess the idea is nuclear holocaust is still theoretical, right? Yeah. Whereas the misogyny in that Barbie movie and in real life is real, right? It's a very true sort of cultural...
Yeah. What do you think the sequel is going to be like?
Oppenheimer 2?
No.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I'd be up for that.
You know they're making a Barbenheimer movie now.
What?
Some straight-to-DVD guy has, like, licensed the name and is moving ahead with a parody, imagine, of the two, which, to me, sounds like quite funny. If it was a French and Saunders sketch, I know I'm always going on about French and Saunders.
Do
I can imagine, like, a
book. Quite a lot.
Yeah. I can imagine French and Saunders podcast.
But, like, I think that's quite a good idea, isn't it?
Is it? Only if it's done well.
It's not going to be done well.
No, it's going to be Sharknado, won't it? So it'll probably do quite well. People will watch it.
Yeah.
Drunk.
Any other big movies of the year you want to mention?
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it's the benchmark where Bond should be, to be honest.
I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was like, it's beautifully filmed. It's very, there's loads of really good set pieces in it, but I don't think it had a lot of, you know, with Bond, where there's this sort of heart to it, I feel like it lost it in the Mission Impossible film. It just felt like it was just loads of set pieces that looked really good.
That train set piece was good, though. Yeah,
to a point.
Oh, here we go.
Right, so I really liked Dead Reckoning. I thought it was something you really need to see on the big screen, right? Yeah. It was like action-packed. The spectacle was unreal, and like the way that the tension just kept building up and up and up, and each action set piece had like its place. But like the fact that they talk about them being doing all the stunts for real, and then that final sequence with the train, it was very CGI heavy, I thought. And so I felt a little bit cheated by some of that. But ultimately, I feel like Christopher McQuarrie and Tom Cruise's like approach to making these movies, it's very ramshackle. I don't know if you know much of behind the scenes, but they sort of come up with the set pieces and then they string a story together to go with it. And they're often making it up as they go along. And often it works out. And in Fallout, I thought it was an absolutely sensation. I think that's the best of the modern Mission Impossible movies. Mm. And it worked really well. But on this one, sometimes it felt like it was action set pieces stringed together by dialogue sequences, you know, the exposition. And I felt like to that extent, it kind of didn't work. But I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, and kudos to Tom Cruise for back-to-back years of rescuing cinema.
Yeah, but he didn't with that one because it tanked at the box office because of Barbenheimer.
Yeah.
Bloody Barbie.
I think it's possibly the lowest grossing Mission Impossible. I could be wrong, which is really,
But he delivers spectacle at least, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
And a movie that I also felt delivered spectacle that I wanted to mention was Killers of the Flower Moon. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it yet.
The Martin Scorsese film.
I just haven't found the time, literally haven't found the 4 hours or whatever it is to go. Is it 4 hours, 3 hours?
It's over 3 hours, yeah.
Yeah, I do want to see it, but I just haven't.
And I think that's the main reason I went to see it at the cinema in IMAX, because I knew if I didn't immerse myself in it, I'd watch it at home and I'd get bored. So any other movies?
Really struggled. I sat and went through the films released in 2023. And there weren't many. There were quite a lot of films that I looked at and I thought I should have watched that, but they were sort of independent films.
Right.
On the sort of blockbuster side of things, I went through and there was I can't think of anything this year that's really...
Haunting in Venice? You weren't a fan of that?
I booked in to watch it and then twice I cancelled it and booked in again to watch it and never bothered watching it. I think I got to the point where I was thinking I'll just watch that on Prime or whatever when it eventually comes out. I'm not that bothered about it.
Yeah. In terms of blockbuster cinema, for me, a favourite was Dungeons and Dragons. I thought that was a really
that was fun.
Really
I forgot
fun
that
movie.
Was this year.
That was this year.
That was fun. But but that's not a good sign if you've completely forgotten about that. Yes. I did forget about that and I saw it on the list and I was like, did I even like that? I can't remember.
And other sort of genre fare, I thought Talk to Me was really good. I don't know if you saw another of your people, are you? And the other one was Pearl as well, the horror film which came out earlier in the year as well. I really like that. Okay, that's movies. TV, I mean, Succession is the obvious one to mention, right? But any other TV highlights from the year?
The Bear.
It's
consistently
the Bear.
Good.
The Bear.
Chef.
You stir that pot for me, please,
Chef.
Do you take my knife, Chef?
Did you take my pot, Chef?
Yes, Chef.
Yes, Chef.
Great.
Did you watch Boiling Point, the BBC sort of quickly commissioned kitchen drama?
Well, I watched the film, but I haven't watched the series yet.
Right.
I mean, I guess it's more of the same.
It's more of the same. Yeah. It's quite stressful, it's very short. It's only 4 episodes, the TV series.
Right.
And it sort of leaves you thinking, oh, there's 2 more episodes. There's not. But I thought that was worth mentioning. Anything else?
I think Invincible. Have you watched Invincible, the new series? That is, they're on like 3rd episode now. That is just how superheroes should be done. It's fantastic. So good. I'm not a massive fan of... I didn't mind like Gen V, but sort of forgettable. Invincible is fantastic. I think that's really good, yeah, if you get a chance to watch that.
I mean, other cultural highlights for me, TV-wise, Dead Ringers. Did you watch that with Rachel Weisz on Prime?
No.
Sensational. You've got to check that out. It's based on the Jeremy Irons movie.
Right.
She is amazing in it. Jury Duty. Did you watch that?
No. What is that?
That's a freebie show where...
freebie?
Yeah. But trust me, it's hilarious. They basically put on a jury service... And it's supposed to be like a reality show where they...
Is this daytime TV?
It's like daytime TV, but they basically cast one real person in it. Everyone else is an actor. Mm. And so the actor then gets put through the real person gets put through these ridiculous scenarios. And James Marsden is playing James Marsden doing jury service as
well.
Are
you still working from home quite a lot?
It's hilarious. Well worth watching. And I was just going to say Last of Us, obviously, was at the start of the year. But another great TV series.
Last of Us I liked, but it's quite a forgettable series. I haven't really... It hasn't gone down in my head as something memorable. I'm definitely not excited about the next series of it.
I think my problem with it... I gave up after one episode because it was exactly like playing the game. Now, probably should have gave it more time, but I was like, I might as well just play the game.
Right.
The game is better. The game is better. Yeah. The game is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that's all my TV moments. So any other cultural highlights you want to mention?
For me, it's all about anime this year.
There you go.
The year that anime has become completely mainstream. It's like everywhere.
In your element.
Netflix keeps releasing new series of anime.
Yeah.
Really good ones. Castlevania and stuff.
Yeah.
I know you're not into those things, but we might have some listeners that do are into that. Sure, yeah. We will. Definitely will.
Yeah. I'm sure we will. But no Marvel highlights from this year.
You've watched them all?
I haven't because I refuse to watch... I don't refuse to watch the Marvels. I just don't want to watch the Marvels. It just looks boring. And it seems to be the theme that most people are going with the Marvels.
Yeah.
But it's just... I'm obsessed with reading about all the decisions and all of the... what might happen with it and stuff. It just seems all over the place at the moment with what Marvel are going to do.
Is there anything Marvel are doing well currently?
I watched Loki.
Yeah.
Loki 2 was actually... if it wasn't part of Marvel, it would have been quite a good series.
Right.
The fact it's part of Marvel actually makes it really confusing.
Yeah.
The storyline and the acting and stuff was fantastic in it. It was really good, but just completely... everything you watch with Marvel now, it confuses the whole Marvel universe. And
yeah, I feel like the wheels have really come off the train of that one, the MCU this year. Mm. Some of the movies are tanking. Mm-hmm. Like the DC movies are really struggling as well. Like it does feel like we're on the sort of the death spiral of the superhero era. But like, what's it going to be replaced with? That's the problem. Like, who knows? It's not going to be Bond anytime soon. Should we look back on the year in Bond?
At MVC's Countdown to Christmas, we've a very special guest.
Bond. James Bond.
Pierce Brosnan stars as 007 in Tomorrow Never Dies. Make it your mission to visit MVC, where Tomorrow Never Dies is available in an exclusive limited edition collector's box. The MVC Countdown to Christmas. Our choice of the best music and video at low prices.
So worth saying that it's now been 4 years since they wrapped on No Time to Die.
Yeah, blimey.
So we've had no news about Bond 26 this year at all.
Yeah.
Now, rather than dwelling on that, we'll talk a little bit more about Bond 26 in a minute. But I just would say that I feel like I don't think the messaging that they're putting out around it is very... very solid. Saying they're not working on it,
yeah,
to me doesn't ring true.
Especially this deep into it.
No, not 4 years on. And we know through the history, even the big gap between...
License to Kill and GoldenEye.
Yeah, License to Kill and GoldenEye. They were working on it non-stop to get it ready for when it finally came out. And that was 6 years. And the same with from Spectre to No Time to Die. They had issues with... I can't remember what the issues were, but it took a long time for them to get together to sort that one out.
Mm.
They were always working on it, but to say they're not, they haven't started working on it, I think is not what people need to hear.
No,
makes you feel like when it does come out, it's going to be massively rushed because they haven't planned out what they're doing for a long time.
Mm.
It must at least be using this time to work things out, and like even if it's not production level stuff, just researching and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, if they release one in 3 years, you're going to be like, well, hold on, what? And if it's bad, they would say, why didn't you spend that 4 years doing a bit more work on it?
But it is probably going to be 3 years. That's where we're at. It's probably going to be another 3 years.
Yeah. Well, the issue we've had this year, major issue, is the writer's strike and an actor's strike.
Mm, yeah.
I wonder whether if those two things hadn't been happening, whether we would have had some sort of announcement or some sort of trade press like leak that like something was happening when they couldn't confirm anything.
Yeah.
Because... They couldn't announce who a new Bond was because the actors would have been, they couldn't have used the actor to talk about it. They couldn't have said that the actor's done a deal because they weren't allowed to do any deals. And the writers, they couldn't say they were doing anything with the writers because again, but surely Purvis and Wade have been toiling away on it since.
You would imagine.
Yeah. Hmm. Right.
Even just some ideas.
But the messaging, it's not great.
No.
Not when you've got like your Marvels and Star Wars and all the other streaming companies that releasing stuff, announcing stuff.
Mm.
It just makes Bond feel a bit archaic.
Well, that's what they said after License to Kill, though, wasn't it? They felt like has it had time passed.
Yeah.
So that's probably where we are. And then, obviously, we've got the Amazon situation. Amazon bought MGM, and like they're still trying to figure out what they're doing there. And they've been spending a lot of this time working on the reality show, which we'll talk about in a minute. So there's lots of things stacked against it as to why we haven't had an announcement. But I'm hoping that we are close now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at this point, if they have released something, announced something, this is where we'll insert the moment. Cool. So no news on Bond 26. But looking back over 2023, way back at the start of the year, a certain video game got re-released.
Yeah.
I know you've been playing it.
I have been playing it.
GoldenEye.
GoldenEye.
Tell us about it.
I mean, it's a lovely game. But it's... I did find that I was playing quite a bit this week, last weekend. And it... The problem is with GoldenEye is that it's so focused on that controller. That's the only controller like that that's ever existed, and it only was really useful for GoldenEye. With the Switch, because it's on the Switch, the updated version, well, it's not updated, it's just the re-released version, but on the Switch, it's really difficult to control. And Toby, our friend, he was a master of it.
Yeah.
He was really good, and he actually says he can't play it like he used to. Do you remember you used to play GoldenEye? And one of the things was strafe.
Yeah.
So you'd run around somebody and strafe around them.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
Right.
Because the controls are just like a normal first-person shooter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's definitely lost a little bit of magic for me. And I'm not sure... I think the thing about GoldenEye was that you were in a room with your mates playing it. That was the fun. It doesn't really work as well online. It's not quite the same thing. It's great to go back through it. I'd say the problem with, though, with GoldenEye is that you have to... complete all of the levels to get all the multiplayer levels.
Right.
So if you're coming at it fresh, so you just download it now, you've got to play the whole game to get all the levels.
Yeah.
You know, we're middle-aged men. We can't be bothered to go through all of the levels again to get the mission. Yeah. So you sort of start with six. So I think there's probably a way they could have done it where they've just focused on the online stuff and just gone, nobody is going to play all the levels on it and try and get the stuff over time. Just go straight in and play it online. But it is fun. It's great to play, and it's nice that you don't have to buy it. It's part of the online service that you get from Nintendo.
That's refreshing to see, actually. You know, they could have asked for 25, 30 quid for this.
People would have paid 50 quid for it.
That's true.
People would have bought it 50 quid, but they'd have had to. They haven't updated it. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's like they haven't remastered it or anything.
Well, I've enjoyed making the same mistakes I made 25 years ago, getting lost in the same tunnels. Great.
Yeah.
But I've not learned anything.
Casting eyes back as well, we had a major Oscar win for a Bond star. Michelle Yeoh won an Oscar way back at the start of the year.
Yeah.
So that was a great moment, I think, for her.
I assume it would have been. Yep.
Yep. That joins the ranks of Bond ladies with Oscars. I'm just trying to think. Halle Berry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's it.
Definitely not for Bond.
No.
Yeah.
No. Book covers. And the re-release of the books. Do you remember this?
Yeah, it got a lot of press coverage, didn't it, about them rewriting Fleming?
Yeah.
Was that this year?
Yeah, it was this year, yeah. And so it happened not long after the Roald Dahl books. They said they were going to re-edit those. I mean, yeah, it's like the books still exist. If you want the old versions with the N-word in it,
yeah,
you can go crazy. Yeah. No one's coming around with Tippex, right, and crossing it out your own copy.
Yeah.
So if it brings more people in and more people are the books are more accessible to more people, fair play. I thought the covers weren't great, to be honest.
A bit lifeless, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, you know, the classic covers.
Yeah.
So it's that, and that was quickly followed by a new James Bond book by Charlie Higson on His Majesty's Secret Service. Have either of you read that?
No.
I haven't either. And I'll tell you for why. Because it came out for the coronation.
Yeah.
And that was something I was very not into.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
No, me either.
I've heard it's a good book, though. So Charlie will get to it eventually. Then, not really much else to say. There was a documentary that was released, The Other Fellow, which our friend Mark O'Connell worked on, about other people called James Bond.
Haven't seen that.
It's been released on ITV.
It's coming to ITV in the new year. So if you haven't seen that, that's well worth checking out. The Ian Fleming publications have reissued a few of the classic Bond books that weren't written by Ian Fleming. So like a Raymond Benson one. I don't know if you saw this.
No.
But they've been reissued as well. There was a TV series, which our friend AJ Chowdhury was part of, Icons Unearthed on Vice. Now, I don't think we get it here in the UK, but if you watch that, apparently that was very good. And then Cypher 007, a surprise Apple Store game that was released. I don't know, you've played a bit of it?
I have played a bit of it. It's part of Apple's arcade thing. So you basically pay a subscription. I think it's like £5 a month or something. And they're basically mobile games. You can play it on your laptop as well. It's not great. It's just classic, like, reference to Bond throughout, but really it's just a standard isometric game where you just run around shooting people and collecting things and stuff like that. They have, like, the Money Penny pops up and says stuff, but it could be anything. It could be a Mission Impossible game. I only got about an hour in and wasn't particularly blown away by it, so don't necessarily. I played it on my laptop, so it might be slightly better on a mobile, but it's not great.
That's a shame. Let's hope Project 007 is better.
I think that's another one that's going to be phenomenal forward any pace, does it?
Well, I think they, I mean, the development process for these games takes like 2 or 3 years, and I know they were hiring developers a year and a half ago, so that we won't hear anything about it for a long time. They won't have anything to show, but that one, if it is going to be like Hitman, that'd be incredible. That'd be really good. So I assume Cypher 007 is just a little branded thing that might make a bit of cash from. That's the only reason I downloaded I used Apple Arcade, so probably make some bit of cash out of that.
It paid off. If you're the only reason you downloaded it, it's because
I got a free trial to Apple, and I did it wrong, so I ended up not getting the free trial and paying $4.99 anyway. So.
Great, they got the cash.
Yeah, they got the cash. Yeah. They're sorted.
Oh, okay. So that leaves us one the big Bond event of the year, which was the release of 007 Road to a Million.
Ooh, I've been waiting for this one.
Eon's first foray into unscripted television, which they made for Prime Video. And when MGM was bought by Prime Video, it was one of the first things that they announced, that like Michael G. Wilson had this idea that they were going to make this James Bond reality series. Now, we had a question on Twitter from someone, Haphazard Stuff. He said, what will be the show 007 Road to a Million be on the legacy of the James Bond series? Will it be a notable impact or an insignificant footnote in its history?
I put real people into a James Bond adventure to win £1 million.
£1 million, Matt. What wouldn't you do?
Climb the crane? No.
I mean, surely it's going to be insignificant, right?
Pretty simple. I was chatting to Brendan earlier, we were talking about it, and I was saying it would be in the history of Bond, it'll be like Happy Anniversary 007. It'll just be a thing that happened ages ago, and then I don't think anyone's going to mention it in about 5 years' time. It'll just be, I definitely don't think people will ever rewatch it. It might be a special feature on a DVD at one point, but yeah, I don't think it's going to have any impact.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I 100% agree. It's going to be a footnote. It's almost more of a punchline to like the James Bond story than James Bond Jr., to be honest.
Before we
completely dismiss it, what did you think? How much have you watched of it? What did you think?
I've done 2 episodes.
Well done.
You've done 2, haven't you?
I've done 2, yeah. But I've bookended. I just did first and last just to see where it went. So I literally watched the last episode just to see if anyone won the million. No spoilers.
Yeah. So what did you think?
It's essentially... Obviously, they've got the Bond rights. They've got a lot of money behind it. It's basically a travel show with a couple of random things thrown in, that spectacles thrown in. It's obviously trying to be like, you know, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of It, or some, that sort of show where it's like it's a reality show. It's not really a reality show because most of the things that they do are with actors, so they're sort of, it's inconsequential. They're not really doing it. One in the second episode where they have to, two Essex guys, they have to go across to a boy in the Venice. Have you watched that one?
No, I didn't get that.
They
far.
Have to go across to a buoy in the Venice waterway system, and it says you have to go to this buoy by 6 o'clock. So they look around and there's a regatta on. There's loads of boats going around. So they're like, we can't get across. We can't get across to this buoy. So they see a guy with a boat, good-looking guy with a boat just nearby, and they go over to him. Speaks very good English, very, very, very good.
It's convenient.
Very convenient, mm-hmm. good English. And he says, I can't take you until 5:30. Okay, right, sure. Because obviously if they went at 1 p.m, there'd be no suspense. It would be boring. So this, clearly an actor that is positioned in a place that they see.
Yeah.
But I think the thing for me that you can just see that there's so many takes. There's so many shots. Mm. It's very beautifully done. It looks great. It looks like a Bond film. That's what they've done. It looks like a Bond film. The lighting, the filters, everything looks like a Bond film. But you can also sort of see they've probably been there all day getting the perfect shot and a lighting and all that sort of stuff. That's not a reality show. Reality shows, you have just stuff being filmed all the time.
Yeah.
And you can tell that, I think. You look at the bit where they will do something that's like scary, and you're like, okay, that's quite good. But you're a real person. That's not what Bond would do.
No.
It's just, you know, I thought it sort of loses quite a lot out of the whole Bond thing.
Yeah. My big issue was the lack of it being a reality show. I think, takes, you know, in the first episode where the two lads are in the water.
Yeah.
And it's from about 4 different angles. Like, they've done so many takes to get that footage.
In the second episode, there is 2 ladies that climb this mountain. And the clue is you have to go over the mountain and then go down the river and then go up the mountain at the end and get the thing at the top. And I think in Scotland, there are hundreds of mountains.
Yeah.
They find it.
Yeah.
If you take 2 people who don't know how to climb mountains, mm-hmm. tell them to climb a mountain and walk across the river, they're never going to find one thing in the top of the thing. But they found it, obviously.
That's the first episode. The 2 ladies with the headscarves. Yeah. I totally agree with you. I watched the first episode. I loved the theme song, the David Arnold theme song and the mm-hmm. graphics, mm-hmm. and it looked very slick.
Yeah.
But to me, you've hit the nail on the head. It doesn't feel like a reality show. And it's to me, and as I work in like covering a lot of reality shows, it seems to me that it's a film company who's gone, let's make a reality series. Mm. It must be easy.
Yeah.
And it's not that easy. That's why companies who make reality shows have been doing it for decades.
Yeah.
They know exactly how to structure a reality show.
Yeah.
They know what viewers want. And the things that you engage with on a reality show or competition show is the reality of it. It's like the putting the people in these situations and it never feels like a real scenario.
No.
And to me, you know, it wants to be Race Across the World or whatever that show's called on the BBC.
Yes.
Where 2 people have to get from one place to the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's real because they don't get any help from anyone.
No. Yeah.
On this, they get dropped off at the bottom of a mountain. Like, what's that? Like, if they were like, you're in like Lisbon and you've got to get to the Highlands of Scotland because there's a clue there.
Yeah.
I'm interested, right? Because I need to see how they get from Lisbon to there and they've got whatever. It's just not there.
No.
Yeah.
And the way that they tacked on the Brian Cox stuff.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
It felt like they were scrambling for some way to tie it all together. I know, Brian Cox, he's really big in Succession. Let's cast him to be...
And he could be a Bond villain.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It works.
But he's an actor.
Yeah.
He's not a reality... He's not... Who did you say it was like?
Games Master.
Yeah,
Patrick Moore.
Yeah. He's not a reality show host. And the way that he's sort of tacked on watching it from a distance, that sort of invokes, you know, Blofeld or whatever.
Yeah. But they're not doing anything that needs that.
And you can tell when they're listening to the questions, it's not him asking them. They've recorded it and put it out.
And painfully so. It's so obvious.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also hinging it on multiple choice questions. Whose idea was that?
Yeah, that's nonsense, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the first episode, they talk about it for about 15 minutes.
It's ridiculous.
Don't care.
Isn't it?
Don't care. Yeah. Not bothered about it.
Why are you lingering on this? Yeah. Just answer the question.
Loosely based on the Queen or something, because that sort of ties back to Bond.
Yeah.
But the worst bit I didn't like is the product placement. Obviously, there's loads of product placement in it. When they go, I think it's in the first episode, the two Essex guys, and they go to the garage and they're like, just start pulling off things. Oh, it's a Land Rover. Oh, it's the car from Goldfinger. Are you using these? No. We just have to mention them just to pull it back to Bond. But they were like, well, why is that in? Why is that in here? Okay, show that then. Can you do a little bit more on the car, please? Yeah, okay.
Ultimately, it comes down to me is who is this show for?
Yeah.
Who benefits from this show? Mm-hmm. Reality TV fans, people who like enjoying watching reality TV, they have way better options available to them, right?
Well, I can just think of two, like Race Across the World and Traitors. Fantastic.
Mm. Yeah. Even just I'm a Celebrity. Gladiators is coming back, right?
You had Survivor that's going on.
Yeah, Strictly. Married at First Sight. These are all properly made reality shows. Yeah, there's constructed reality to it. But you understand what it is and how it works. This, to me, just didn't make any sense.
It's like an
sense.
Advert, isn't it? It could be an advert.
Yeah.
It could be a Land Rover advert. It could be a holiday advert.
And you think, oh, well, maybe they're going to throw some Bond questions in, or the people who are doing it are going to be Bond fans. But the way they sell it is like, oh, what would real people do if they were put in James Bond scenarios? That would be great. Show me that. I don't like...
I'll tell you what, walking across a mountain is not a James Bond scenario. No point have I ever seen him walk across a mountain.
I haven't seen him do that. Or answering multiple choice questions.
No. Well, they probably should do that in Bond 26. That was quite...
Maybe that's how they'll tie it all in. To sum it up, I think it's going to be a footnote. I think it's a big mistake.
Mm.
Yeah. Probably a costly one. I can't imagine the carbon footprint of the show. I mean, Brendan Hurt is probably something that you must have considered watching it.
The company I work for worked on it.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
How did they offset it? They plant like 1,000 trees.
You're not going to offset that. It's crazy. In an age where everyone is conscious about that sort of thing.
Just to get two people to climb a scaffolding.
I just remembered a bit in the first episode. They drive, when they go find the cars, they drive away in a Land Rover and it breaks down.
In the second episode, another car breaks down, so they then have to go and find someone else. So they have to drive somewhere, 20 miles or something, and they've got a car. Car breaks down, we've got to go and find someone to drive us there. Nobody's stopping, and then suddenly the car stops, and this guy is telling her, goes, hello, and you instantly you go, oh, he's an actor, isn't he? He's clearly an actor.
I thought as a fun thought exercise, if we're all slagging it off saying, oh, it's a crap James Bond reality show, why didn't they think of something better? I asked you to both to think about what would be a better reality TV series based on James Bond. Can I go first, just to give you a sense of where I'm at with
this? Absolutely.
Q's Scrap Heap Challenge.
Okay.
So it's Q, right? And it's like, imagine Desmond Llewellyn. He's in a scrap heap. It's Scrap Heap Challenge, but with Desmond Llewellyn. Yeah. And you have to go out. You've got to build me a watch that has a grappling hook built into it. They've got to go out into the scrap heap and build a grappling hook watch from the stuff in
that's
the scrap
heap. That's very good.
That's where I'm at. That's
nice.
That's the level I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you?
Well, I've got a few. It's basically the Bake Off, but with cocktails.
Yes.
This is all you've got to do like that. That's at least
good.
It ties
that
it
is
in.
Good. That
and
is
you could
good.
Have guest judges that are from the world of Bond to tie it all in.
Doesn't even have to be anyone big. It can be Samantha Bond. It can be Caroline Bliss. I'm just thinking of...
The Great British Cock-Off.
I mean, you could call it that.
Yeah,
I didn't have a title, but if you want to go
with
that.
Use that, mate, if you want to do that. That's not a problem.
Shaken, not stirred.
Shaken, not stirred, but it's very obvious. But, I mean, yeah, why not? Yeah.
Why not? Much cheaper.
Just three episodes. It doesn't need to be anything massive.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good.
Well, so what do you come up with?
So, I had the Great British Quiche Off, which is my... that was my... although that's quite specific, because people who don't know she's a kill probably will be confused by that. Yeah. But might work. But my other one that was actually... I thought about was... I think the problem with Road to a Million is that real people can't do Bond. It doesn't work. They're real people. Mm-hmm. They can't do Bond. So that you've got disparity between what you're trying to do and what you're trying to deliver. So I thought you could get actual ex-servicemen, spies, stuff like that, people who had been working in that world. Might be ex-police, so they don't have to be spies that you know you're not allowed to talk about. You put them in like a mansion with big grounds, and they have to find something.
Like the start of From Russia with Love, like Spectre Island.
Exactly,
Spectre Island would work.
Yeah. So you have all these people on there, and in order to solve the things, some things you need to do it as a group.
Yeah.
But obviously they're all trying to win it on their own. So you have to be a spy.
Traitors,
So you have to get involved. Some of the people in the group are also computer experts, like hacker type people.
Right.
So some of the things you need one of those people, so you have to befriend those people. But you also put little challenges in as well. So it might be like there's a casino night. There's actors obviously involved in it as well. A casino night, you've got to find out who does this. But they're real spies, so that you'll see how they would actually do it and see if it's like Bond. So it's actually a reality show that works.
It's very
Spectre
similar
to Island.
Spectre Island. It's done. Yeah. And I had one like that. It was like a Derren Brown style show where he like trains someone up to like be a James Bond type spy.
Yeah.
And they've got to complete a mission at a real life event where they've got to, you know, convince someone that something's happened. And do you know what I mean?
That'd
like,
be great.
Well, the problem is you can't.
Someone undercover.
Yeah. You can't orchestrate a scenario in the real world where you can be Bond. It just wouldn't work.
No.
Because obviously you're going to get told off for doing stuff.
Yeah.
If you build this this place where some people might be real, some people are actors and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about where they are. They have a lot of space. So some people might even camp overnight somewhere because they know that something's going to happen 10 miles from the mansion at a certain point in time. So you see how they would deal with that.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, Bond has so many skills, right? He's got like loads of different things you can lean on. It can be like like shooting, skiing, like driving cars. These could all be challenges within a Crystal Maze type setting,
But you don't want it to be about the challenge because the challenge is boring. It's about being a spy. That's the thing that's interesting.
Right.
You want to see somebody be a spy. You don't want to see two women from Birmingham wherever who don't know anything about it just going, I don't know what I'm doing here. What am I doing? Oh, there's a snake. I've got to touch a snake. That's not what Bond would do. You want to see Bond or somebody like Bond go. In fact, you'd probably see him do things where these experts, you go, well, we wouldn't do it like that, but this is how Bond should do it, which would make it really interesting and a bit more compelling.
Well, here's my final idea, right? It's called Henchman, right? Okay. And it's a Squid Game style thing where they're working for a Blofeld type boss, and they have to prove themselves through a series of, again, challenges.
Yes.
And it's stuff like shark tanks.
That's Spectre Island again.
It's Spectre Island again.
Right, okay.
But it's from the bad guy's
Season
point
two.
Of view. So you're competing to become Blofeld's right-hand man. You've
that's
got to
good.
Do all
that's
these
good.
Like evil challenges that are like...
And you're going to dress them all up funny?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And they're going to get blown up and like...
Oh, they get to choose their outfits and stuff. And like they get judged on how good their outfit is. Oh, there's...
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like... what was that one with Trini and Susanna where they would get them dressed
big
up?
Big fun. I didn't think Trini and Susanna were going to get brought up on this one.
Yeah.
I think Gokwan might be a bit...
Gokwan. Anyway, that's my Blofeld Minions series.
Fantastic. I had one more. Goggle Bond. It's basically just actors from the world of Bond watching Bond films.
Nobody's going to do it.
They'll do that.
Wow.
I like that.
Because that is quite good.
People revisiting not only their own films, but other
Bond
films.
It's brilliant.
Goggle Bond.
It doesn't even have to be people in Bond. It can just be, you know, Scarlett
You
Scarlett
could
Moffat
even stick to not on anymore.
It's got to be people associated with Bond. You couldn't just...
You could pair them up.
You could do celebrity Goggle Bond and normal Goggle Bond.
You're not normal Goggle Bond, would you? With
Bond fans?
No.
I just thought about that. Yeah, I've just realised. Yeah, no, that's very nice. That's very nice.
Do you understand the tax breaks behind this one?
Yeah, it'd be us.
Yeah. We would not be invited on it.
Where can you use the Players Club card? Las Vegas, Atlantic City, the Caribbean, on cruise ships. Sometimes you just need to get away from it, all right? But these days, you got to be smart about it. With a Players Club card, you save 25, 50% off your room. 25% off food and drinks, up to 50% off shows. The Players Club card. Have some fun the smart way.
New members get two free nights in Las Vegas or Atlantic City when the club books their flights. Call toll-free right now. There's no obligation.
We had a question from one of our friends online. This is from the Best Bits podcast. And they said, which Bond gadget would you give each other as a Christmas gift? Did you think about this?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
No cars, helicopters, crocodiles, submarines. It has to be stocking filler item. So.
He asked me this earlier, I didn't tell him. So,
right, go on then, you go first.
So I would buy you both the ticker tape thing, messaging watch, because you'd have to give it to more than one person, because otherwise it'd be completely useless.
Right.
So all three of us would have it. And you'd message each other through that. Yeah. But because it's quite expensive to probably do that all the time in a digital world, you'd have to use quite short words. So it would just probably be offensive words all the time. Yeah. You just get an offensive word when you're sat in a meeting.
No.
But people would see it. Like, what's that little printing thing? Oh, my God. Who's that?
Where do you even get that tape from to refill?
Well, exactly. Yeah, I suppose you'd have to come with a year's supply of it or something like that. But
so that would replace our WhatsApp group.
Exactly. That, okay, but you'd have to be a bit more leaner on how we message.
Yeah. What about you, Brendan? What have you
The Ericsson phone from Tomorrow Never Dies. You said we can't do the car.
Right.
You didn't say we can't do the phone. The
most useless gift ever.
But you're just getting the phone. So you can't, you know, and it's a 2G phone. So it's really useless, but you've got...
I reckon you give that to Butler, he'd open it and be like, this is amazing. Yeah. And then realise...
it's useless.
He hasn't got a car. He can't get on the internet with it.
Yeah.
I'm like driving it going, it's arriving in a minute. It's going to get her in a minute. It's going to get her in a minute.
Sat in the back of a car.
I just went with the Bond, the pen, the exploding pen.
We talked about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's an easy Christmas gift.
Blow us up?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to tell you it's a bomb. I'm just going to give it to you.
You've got two children in the house. You've got to be careful they don't open the wrong present.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, lots of gadgets that would fit in a stocking, right?
Yeah, all the watches.
All the watches.
They would all go in, wouldn't they?
You can't put a watch in a stocking.
Why?
Well, it depends which watch it is, but... They're quite expensive. That's not stocking filler.
You know, you're great in it. Stock it at your Blofeld's eyeball.
Mine's a Casio. Mine's a Casio, isn't it? Is it Casio or is it a Timex? The one he's got.
Oh, yes.
So it's pretty cheap. That is a stocking filler. But if you're having like one of the proper ones.
The sonar one that explodes glass.
What's the brand that he has, well, that they all work with?
Amiga.
Amiga, yeah. That's not stocking filler.
No. You can get the Roger Moore era, like Psycho. Is it Seiko the one?
Seiko, yes.
ジェームズ・ボンド愛用のセイコーデジタルに新製品登場アラーム機能と8桁計算機搭載スーパービジネスマンにセイコーチェックメイト
Should we talk about Bond 26?
Why not?
So, we put a call out on social media asking our listeners what they wanted to hear us talk about, and overwhelmingly, everyone wanted to hear us talk about Bond 26. So Robert Scull said, the new Bond, obviously. Colin Hall asked, what do you want to see in a new Bond film? Christian Zolo Zabal said, the future of the James Bond franchise. And our friends at Spy Hard, they want to know what we want from the next Bond film. And I've actually got some suggestions before we dive into this from people.
So Purvis and Wade, have a listen.
What they want, yeah. Jim Listy, his requirements for Bond 26 are very, very short and to the point. Not Bond 25. I mean, they couldn't just release the same film again, but I think I understand his sentiment.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you take back from that meaning?
I think they've got to completely change the way that the format, make it a bit more interesting, make it a bit more exciting.
And not do what they did at the end.
Mm.
They can't do it again, right?
Yeah, you would hope not.
Mark Turnbull was very specific. He wants more one-liners, harder action and comedy escapes. And he references The Hang Glider.
Mm.
Okay.
So that seems to me a change in tone, perhaps, to an older
sounds like that's a little bit of a Roger Moore focus of...
Andy Pitt, very familiar refrain here from Bond fans, a return to Bond being given missions and more espionage.
Absolutely.
Can
we just have him have a standalone mission?
Yeah.
He goes to him, gets a brief, that's it, he's on his mission.
Not something he's not actually meant to be doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then some very specific requests. Phil Nobile Jr. said he wants something lighter, but done in a way I wouldn't have thought of myself, which I think sort of sums up most people. My feelings, for sure.
Yeah, they've got to go lighter, haven't they?
Yeah.
Got to be lighter, got to be fun.
And he suggests, failing that, Nicholas Hoult as Bond, directed by Edgar Wright.
Okay.
John Moss suggested that they should take inspiration from Man with the Golden Gun, the book. Do you know this one?
No.
So Man with the Golden Gun book is set after You Only Live Twice, the book, which ended with Bond being injured in Japan. And he has, at the start of the film, start of the book, he's got amnesia from a head injury. He spends months living with fisher people. He's got a wife, like Kissy Suzuki's his wife. And then he travels to the Soviet Union trying to figure out who he is, because he knows he's got something to do with it. And they end up brainwashing him, sending him to M to kill him. Yeah. So that's how The Man with the Golden Gun opens, with Bond brainwashed. To me, that's an interesting idea, but it suggests that they will have to continue some sort of narrative from No Time to Die.
It sounds like an Amazon series to me.
I think the problem they'd have to do is they're going to have to do the initial film. You couldn't just do that. I feel like you've got to do the losing his memory first.
Yeah, you've got to do The Empire Strikes Back before you get to The Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm.
He's got Star Wars in there, doesn't he?
He can't help himself.
Yeah.
And French and Saunders.
So on Twitter, he said he wants James Bond actor to be a minimum of 30 and a maximum of 33. Very specific.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That actually probably makes casting easier.
Yeah.
And then two very common suggestions. One from Liam. He said he just wants David Arnold to come back.
Agreed.
Okay.
And Michael Baker says Martin Campbell to direct, Richard Madden as Bond.
Okay. Campbell coming back for a third relaunch would be fantastic, I think.
Why not? In his 80s?
Why not?
So, this got me thinking, how do we talk about Bond 26 without boring on about like all the things everyone used to bore on? So, I challenged you both to come up with some suggestions for Bond, choices for Bond 26. Wheatley, I've asked you to come up with some evil suggestions.
Oh, I haven't done them. He's done all of them. Yeah. I've done the... I ignored your...
The brief.
You've ignored the brief.
I've ignored the brief and I've done the neutral choices.
Right.
And I've done some evil choices, but he's got all of them.
I've done everything.
You've done good, neutral,
I've
and
done
evil.
All three. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I've got a lot of spare time.
Yeah. I've only done good. So let's start off from the top then. Who would be a good choice? And when I say good, I mean someone who would actually do a really good job. Not an obvious choice, perhaps, and also possibly a risky, hire for it. Mm. The neutral choice, I would say, someone who would be the obvious choice. They would do a solid, if not groundbreakingly different job. And then the evil choice is the worst, the worst choice imaginable. The choice that you make just for jokes, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the good choice for Bond director. Who have you got? I've got Christopher Nolan.
I've got that for neutral.
You've got that for the
I've
neutral
I've got that
option.
As the...
Who have you got?
Christopher Nolan.
He was on my list for neutral, but I've gone for Martin Campbell for neutral.
Yeah, I think he's the neutral option, right?
Okay.
What have you got?
Well, Greta Gerwig.
Right.
Is that neutral?
No. This is good.
Are we doing good now?
Risky.
Yeah.
Good. Wacky.
Oh, right. No, I haven't got anything.
I'm going wacky.
So you're going Greta Gerwig?
Yeah.
Director of Barbie?
Yep.
To be honest, it can't get any worse. I mean...
But I mean, why not? Let's see what
she can come up with.
She can do.
Okay,
that's what I'm thinking. You said not, possibly risky. It would be a risk.
Yeah, but she has directed one of the biggest films.
Exactly.
Of the year. Yeah.
That has a strong message. Why not?
Yeah.
Give it a go.
Okay. The neutral choice. You said Martin Campbell.
Yeah.
I've gone with Nolan.
You think he's the obvious choice?
I think he's the obvious choice. Yeah.
Interesting.
He is the obvious choice, but.
Yeah, whether we get that.
No, they're both obvious choices.
Yeah.
Well, I would say someone like Denis Villeneuve is an obvious choice as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think he'd be more of a good choice because he could do something interesting with it. Mm. My only issue with Villeneuve is, I think, and also Greta Gerwig, I feel like you need someone who understands the British sensibilities, way of life. Nolan is British in a way.
Die another day.
Yeah, when you go off, I don't know. That's my feeling on that.
Christopher Nolan's a tricky one because I think that he would make it very similar to what we've had previously.
Yeah,
he's a bit of a removal, isn't he?
I mean, there was rumours about him coming to do it and doing it period piece, and I think that's the angle I'd like to go down.
That's wishful thinking, though.
That is wishful thinking.
It's not going to happen. They're never going to make a
I just think going back to 50s and 60s is where you get the most interesting stories.
You just don't get any box office from that period. Product placement. The evil choice, then.
I haven't got one.
Taiki Waititi.
That's good, isn't it?
That's very good.
I just think it would be abysmal. I would probably manage about 10 minutes of it.
It would be hilarious.
Would it?
On some level. Chris, what's his name?
Hemsworth.
Hemsworth has bombed. It would be fantastic.
he would play Bond.
I've got him later on.
Right.
Yeah.
What about Wes Anderson?
I thought about that, but that was too ridiculous. That was absolutely too ridiculous.
Yeah.
Lee Tamahori
coming back,
Bond 26. Here's the ultimate evil choice: Daniel Craig, make his director.
That's good.
That's worse than
that. That is worse. Yeah.
And the problem is, I can see that happening.
Yeah,
I know, right? I'm joking, of course. So let's talk about Moneypenny. Let's go in the direction of Moneypenny. Who would be a good choice for Moneypenny?
Florence Pugh.
Okay. Okay.
Florence Pugh cropped up in my thoughts as well.
Yeah.
If you were doing it well, I think she could do a good job.
Possibly too big a name to play.
Yeah, but I think with the next Bond, they're all going to be big names. They're going to have to go with that. It's the way the industry now, isn't it? You want all the big names. You want all the people promoting it. It's a Marvel
yeah,
world.
Yeah, you kind of are going to struggle going with no names. Mm. You know, they even started at the end of Daniel Craig's era. Everyone was a name.
Yeah.
So for me, I've got a good one here. Well, I think it's a good one. I was thinking about Lois Maxwell. Matronly and yet alluring.
Yeah.
Hannah Waddingham.
Ooh, yes. No, you're not feeling that one.
I like Hannah Waddingham, but I just
feel like she's got a like something that would be good with a younger Bond. Like,
yeah. I actually did think about this, that it would be nice to mix up the age dynamics,
yeah,
and actually have somebody who's older. Mm. Obviously, Hannah Waddingham isn't that old, but
she's 49.
Yeah, 49. There you go. But if you've got a Bond who's like 33, that's actually quite a nice little mix. Yeah, yeah.
So. What else have you got? What choice have you got?
For what? Good.
Moneypenny.
I haven't got anything for good.
You haven't? What have you gone for?
For neutral?
Yeah.
Karen Gillan.
Very good.
That's
a
good choice, Karen Gillan.
A neutral choice, obviously, would be Naomi Harris, right, to come back and do Moneypenny again.
A confusing choice if we change everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's the only one doing the M. I've gone for Margot Robbie.
Wow.
No, that's bold. That's not a neutral choice.
You think I should switch mine?
Is this
out?
Just Barbie 2?
What? Yeah.
Yeah, I want to make Barbie 2.
So I'm guessing Bond is, what's his
just
face?
Just two-way, he is.
Ken.
Yeah, of course he is. Okay. Any evil choices for Moneypenny?
Miranda Hart. I just thought,
oh, that's not even evil.
That's
just completely ridiculous.
Imagine with my Taika Waititi directing, we got Miranda Hart.
I mean, I'd watch that. I'd go for Megan Fox.
Megan Fox. Rebel Wilson, I thought, would be an evil choice. Well, yeah.
She's my Q.
Okay, let's do Q then. Let's do Q.
Okay.
Who's got a good?
Richard Ayoade, I thought, would be
very good.
Worth a look at.
I'm not sure he's good.
No, but this is possibly risky, remember?
Oh, it's possibly risky.
And he's got that vibe.
Actually, no, he
socially awkward.
I love that.
He seems a bit neutral to me. He seems like he would
He's not neutral, because that neutral says that they would go with it. If they announced him in the casting, it would be a shock.
Right.
But it's certainly an angle that they could go down with.
Yeah, again, I thought the neutral choice would just be Ben Whishaw to come back. But,
well, I went Nicholas Holt, which is basically Ben Whishaw, isn't it?
Holt's Q. Yeah. Wow, interesting.
Yeah. I'm going for Reese Shearsmith.
Right, oh, very good.
A bit older. I think we bring back an older Q.
Yeah,
I was thinking about people like what's his face from Fasher,
Charlie Hickson.
But then I thought a little bit too like Reese Shearsmith is a bit younger, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's like the perfect age for it.
Yeah.
But I think you go back to they've mixed it up. They've had a younger Q.
Yeah.
Now they go back to it being sort of a. More fatherly fit, not this for unclely figure.
Yeah, yeah, he won the avuncular.
He also does frustration so well, and you know, you get that across.
Mm. I love that choice.
Yeah, that is brilliant.
Lock it in.
Yeah,
so he was an evil choice for Q.
Elon Musk. Surely, imagine getting him in.
That's not even an evil. That's just a ridiculous choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay. Could have had a ridiculous choice one, just throwing all of this stuff into it.
I've got bags of ridiculous choices.
I've got Tim Minchin. As Q.
Yeah, that's good. I'll have
Michael McIntyre. Michael McIntyre, yes.
Absolute character.
James Corden.
Oh.
He's M.
Yeah. He's M. Right, okay, let's move on to M then. Who have we got for M?
Idris Elba.
Yes. Said this a long time ago.
Yeah, I said this as well, I think that'd be a really clever choice.
Yeah. That's the good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about a neutral choice?
Gillian Anderson.
Yes,
that's basically the modern Judi Dench when she would take over that mantle, I think.
Yes. All right, Olivia Colman for neutral.
Yep,
same vibe, isn't it?
Also
vibe,
good. Yeah. What about an evil M?
Taika Waititi. He's got a cast himself, hasn't he, in my awful Bond film?
Yeah.
I've got John Cleese.
Oh.
Crikey.
Oh.
I haven't got anyone, but I'll stick Michael McIntyre in again.
All right, Felix Leiter.
So, good choice. I've gone for Jason Sudeikis. I thought...
he cropped up in my thoughts as well.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
He could do that. Not as Ted Leto, but...
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah, he could definitely
do that. And I think it would be quite an interesting take.
So, I went for neutral. I went for Bill Hader. But I actually think Bill Hader would be better than... What's his name? Sudeikis.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a good option for
Leiter. Yeah, I really like that.
He's a little bit more... Understand. He could play a different. I think Sudeikis is probably going to be pretty standard. Whereas I think Bill Hader's probably a bit more interesting. He could be a bit more involved.
like that. I like the idea. In the books, he was always like a lanky sort of Longshanks type character, and I think Bill Hader has that about him as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
For me, I had Janelle Monáe. Yes. Thought like if we're going to gender flip anyone, Felix is probably an open. It's a sort of a gender neutral name, isn't it? And I think she would be an amazing. I think she'd be an amazing addition to any Bond film. But
that's true.
Yeah. So villains, I didn't ask you
to talk about. Felix Leiter.
All right, sorry,
I've
evil.
I've got loads of.
Okay.
So Ryan Gosling, I went as as the neutral Gosling. Right. I think he would do a good Felix Leiter.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan Gosling is Felix Leiter in the neutral.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so neutral.
Well, okay. Owen Wilson.
No, I actually thought of Owen Wilson. I thought, actually, he probably would be quite good.
He would actually be good, yeah.
Go on. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds as the awful choice. He would be bad, wouldn't he?
Kevin Hart.
Ooh, yeah. Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be awful, wouldn't it? It'd be awful.
What about Kevin James? Even worse.
Kevin James is my M.
Should we just cast it from like American sitcoms? Yeah.
That's not bad. That's next year's special.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to talk villains? I didn't put Bill on the list, but I did ask you to think about it. Mm. So, I've always said this. I think Ben Mendelsohn, it's his time to be a Bond villain at some point.
Yeah.
Right, he'd be a good choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What have you got?
I've gone for David Tennant and Michael Sheen together as a villainous duo.
An erotic duo.
Because they don't act apart these days.
No, exactly. Yeah. You've got to hire them together.
Yeah.
No, but
yeah.
I just thought they could, if they were both cast as
like a Winton Kidd type scenario.
That sort of vibe and obviously Good Omens.
That's quite interesting. That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Did you have any?
I went for Cillian Murphy.
Okay. As the villain. I like that.
Scarecrow. Mm.
He's not going to be playing Scarecrow, but he will be wearing a mask on his head.
To look like a scarecrow.
To look like a scarecrow, yeah.
And did you have any evil choices for the villain?
The Rock.
Yeah, very good. Yes.
Absolutely useless.
I thought about The Rock, but then I thought that is too ridiculous.
Yeah.
Definitely need a new list for him next year. I haven't got anyone else for the villain.
Add neutral, though. Damian Lewis. Thought it would be very good.
Very good, yeah. I feel like he's been a Bond villain before.
It does feel like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Mm,
I'm thinking of the other guy from Die Another Day. Okay, Bond girls. I've got some good choices.
I didn't know any Bond girls.
No.
Right, you didn't do any at all.
This is a late edition.
Seems a little bit offensive to me.
Yeah. We're beyond that. We're progressive.
Have you seen White Lotus?
Yes.
Season 2?
Yeah.
You know the two young girls?
Yeah.
Both of them. Just put them in the Bond movie.
Okay.
Because I just think they were like great in that show. And the one I'm thinking of is the I don't know. She was like the main girl. Her name's Simona Tabasco. She sounds like a Bond girl already, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Any other choices?
I mean, Florence Pugh, I know I've named her already, but I think she'd be a good modern Bond girl.
She couldn't be just... Well, I mean, Bond girl...
Yeah, but you've got to modernise the role. You're thinking 60s, bikini. You've got to modernise.
Yeah, but still...
You're thinking Melinda Messenger here, aren't you?
I'm thinking Melinda Messenger. Get Melinda Messenger.
I also thought Jodie Turner-Smith as well. I thought she'd be a good addition to the Bond series. Right, song. Big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a big one.
I've only got one for this.
Who's it gone?
Well, I've only got the neutral one, so...
What's that?
Lady Gaga.
Neutral?
I would say that was an evil choice.
Me too.
No, I reckon Lady Gaga would be able to... Because what you want with a Bond song is it's got to be marketable. I mean, the Bond song is basically a marketing channel, isn't it? You've got to have somebody that's going to promote... By doing it, they're going to promote it.
That's true.
No disrespect to Lady Gaga. I think her moment's passed.
Yeah, I agree.
Because
I thought about it. I was like, no, she's just done. It's 10 years. Done. 10, 15 years. Yeah, she's done.
I think there's two very obvious good choices. Who have you got?
Well, what do you want the good?
Go with good first.
Arctic Monkeys.
That's actually what I had written down as well.
What? Yeah, I think could do.
Okay.
This era, you're stuck in the past.
So I want Brian.
In many ways.
I want Brian Adams. Michael Bolton.
But I think Arctic Monkeys' latest album, The Car.
Yeah.
It's very Bond-y.
Cinematic.
Didn't even know they had a new album. So,
unbelievable.
Move on.
You're still dancing on that.
It's a neutral then. Sorry, I actually meant neutral choices as
well. So neutral. Lana Del Rey.
I would go for that.
I thought the obvious neutral choices were Harry Styles, Taylor Swift, right? The two biggest artists Swift in on the list, world at the moment. Yeah. That's the level that
I had Taylor Swift on the list, but I don't know any Taylor Swift songs, so I didn't know if it would be absolute madness to suggest that.
But one key proviso for me for the song, do it with David Arnold.
Yeah, please do it with David Arnold.
Just let David Arnold do the song. Mm. He knows what he's doing.
Mm. Yeah. I've gone for Madonna as the evil choice.
Great.
Bring her back. Why not?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely bring it back. Yeah.
Okay, big one.
Yeah.
Bond. Bond himself.
Exactly.
James Bond.
And I wasn't joking when I said Ryan Gosling earlier. I think that's my risky choice.
Are you working for Mattel?
Yeah.
Is that why you're wearing that pink Barbie?
Have you just watched Barbie? And you always
can I
about?
Just say he treads the line between emotional and funny very well.
Okay, is that what you want?
He's too old.
He's going to be between 30 and 33.
That's true. He is too old. He's 10 years older than that. But he doesn't look it.
No, you
know,
he doesn't.
I can just hear people switching off.
I don't want to even dream. I don't want to get, you know, my hopes up. I don't think they'll have a Canadian James Bond. I just don't know that we're there yet.
Let's move it on.
Okay,
who else have you got?
Well, Cavill is the neutral, boring, you know, it's Henry Cavill, isn't it?
The open goal, isn't it?
But he's too old. He doesn't fit this 31 to 33 bracket.
Well, let's talk about the other contenders then. Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
No. Yeah. He would be all right.
Can you see it?
Yeah, I can see it.
I can see it. Yeah. I think it works. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If he's the greatest actor, but then...
Who is?
He's not.
Who is? Anyone else?
Who else has been linked with it? I mean, obviously Idris Elba's too old.
He's too old. Dev Patel, I think, would be good.
Dev Patel would be
even
good.
Even what's his face? Bill Elliott's getting too old now, isn't
he? Yeah, he's too short as well.
Yeah.
Whoa, come on.
That's shortest.
That's what a short person would say.
Yeah.
I can't think of any of the other big contenders.
At least for the good and the neutral.
It's just such a... I mean, when I was looking at this, I looked at the list, you know, the odds list.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. The names on those odds lists...
No, Henry Golding.
I don't even look at him anymore.
No, I mean, he's okay.
Have we done the
terrible?
Tom Hardy.
Timothy Chalamet.
I've got Timothy Chalamet.
Of course you have.
So I've also got him as my good one.
So the evil choice of Bond is...
And M.
It's Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? But I would watch it.
Of course you would. Mm. I think you'd watch my film. I mean, all my bad choices.
It was Barbie. Just Barbie.
Yeah,
but with Bond.
What about who's that other one that we always talk about? Tom Holland. That's a very evil choice.
That is very evil. Yeah. Evil. Yeah. No. Especially after Uncharted.
And so, any good suggestions? Like actual good suggestions? Aaron Taylor Johnson for me seems fine.
Mm. Yeah.
Tom Hiddleston.
No.
He's too old. He's way too old now. He could be M.
He could be M. It's very Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Vibe.
Yeah.
He could be Moneypenny.
I just think it's talked about to death, and I just want them to do it. We could throw names in the air constantly, but until they name it.
So, in terms of what you actually want from Bond 26,
safe pair of hands, comfortable, enjoyable, bit of romp, bit of fun.
That can't be what they do. That won't be what they do.
They can't go gritty. They probably will go gritty. They shouldn't go gritty. We've had enough of that for a while. We need something a little bit different.
Sort of light.
Well, this is what Edgar Wright says, isn't it? With Bond, they do it dark chocolate, light chocolate. So, Sean Connery, dark chocolate. Tim Lazenby, light chocolate.
Yeah.
Terry's light chocolate.
Wait, no, this is...
They know an even lighter chocolate with Roger Moore.
Light chocolate with Roger Moore. But then they went dark chocolate with Dalton. Then they went light with Brosnan. Dark with Daniel Craig.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now they need to go light chocolate again.
They have to
go light.
Especially
I reckon you make it Britishy, slightly
British-y,
camp.
Is that a word?
It's a very popular word when
just
you
British.
Britishy. I don't want it fully British. British is it's got to be Britishy. A little bit of an American sprinkle on it.
Yeah.
It's got to be British-y with.
It's got to appreciate the British sense of humour,
idiom,
all that stuff.
In it, a bit back to the old style, but also throwaway. You can watch it. Great, enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Don't need to know what happens after that. Let's do a new thing next time.
Standalone.
Bit like Knives Out.
Yeah.
Campy, bit fun. Got
Spy Love Me is what you're describing.
I think it needs some GoldenEye energy. Spy Love Me, sort of that sort of like golden era of like sprightly Bond films.
Sprightly Bond films, that's a good phrase, isn't it?
Something that's light on its feet. Yeah. Something that's surprising as well, but also familiar.
Yeah.
And that's something I also felt a bit about with 007 Road to a Million, is it felt like it was resting on its laurels a little bit too much.
It was basically, it's like they'd used the same cameras from No Time to Die, and they used loads of the same location, didn't they?
So in that sense, you are, because they'll need a director before they get anything else. They need someone that's going to inject some new life into it.
Mm.
Yeah. So which is why someone like Edgar Wright might be an interesting choice. I don't know if he's like...
I think Edgar Wright's too risky. He's too... His style, it's almost like Edgar Wright's quite Sam Raimi in a way that you can tell it's an Edgar Wright shot.
Stylized, yeah.
And you can't have that. They won't allow that.
You're right, actually. They hired Danny Boyle and then they got rid of him because he wouldn't bend to their will, yeah. Right? Well, apparently.
And Edgar Wright's already left Ant-Man because of the same sorts of thing, yeah. Where they didn't want to do the exact thing that they wanted to do. So.
But the thing that they have the advantage of now is that they're starting from a blank slate, right? So yes. Edgar Wright, if he came in, wouldn't have the...
baggage.
Parameters to work in, he'd be able to forge his own path. I feel like Nolan and Villeneuve, good choices, but could be risky in that they are similar to what we had with the Daniel Craig films. Then that being said, that Nolan says his favourite of the Bond films is The Spy Who Loved Me. And he also has homaged on Her Majesty's Secret Service. So I feel like, assuming that he'd make a film like the Daniel Craig films, is getting ahead of it. I think actually he would be very considered, but just whether or not they would concede the creative control to him that he would want.
This is the, I think that's the
sticking probably point, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. So
Martin Campbell it is.
Martin Same Campbell it is. Well, are you feeling festive now?
Big time, massively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to end on like we did last year, Brendan?
Yes, yeah, so I've got a little quiz.
Cashier number one, please.
Ladies and gents, please rise for Sir Roger Moore.
I'm swooning.
I know everyone does.
Smoothie?
One does one's best. You couldn't tell me where I am, could you?
The post office, your sooners.
What luck! I have made an absolute fortune out of just being terribly suave. And I need a proper savings account.
Well, Sir Rog, whether in our instant saver, our cash ISA, or our growth bond, your money will be working hard.
Wonderful, Kenneth.
Do the eyebrow thing, Sir Rog.
Like so.
Savings accounts at the People's Post Office.
So it wouldn't be Christmas without a quiz, Brendan.
A quiz, of course. And this is called Around the World Is Not Enough. Okay? So I'm going to give you a Bond film. Player one will state how many stated locations that are depicted in the film they can correctly list. Player two can then either give a higher number.
Oh, this is good. It's
a challenge.
This is good.
He's going to destroy me. Or call out that number to name them all.
Okay.
Yeah. So this can go back and forth until someone calls out. So for example, Dr. No, two locations, right? So if you said one, Tom Butler said one, and you said two, then he said name them, you'd name the two locations. The two locations are...
Okay, London and Jamaica.
United Kingdom, we're doing countries.
Oh, we're doing countries.
Don't worry, it's not
that's
cities.
Better,
don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like this, it's good. Okay.
So then you win the number of points for the locations that you name. So it's not just one, if you name five locations, I know the drill. But if you get it wrong, if you're naming them and you get it wrong, it goes over to the other, and all the other persons have to name one, and they get all the points.
Right. Okay.
Taking scores then.
Yes.
So, first one is round one. Here we go. It's Diamonds Are Forever. I'm going to go to Tom Wheatley first. I want you to give me a total that you think you're confident in naming.
Two.
Okay. Are you going to raise him on that?
Three.
You go three.
Name it.
Here we go. Three. Go on then.
The Netherlands.
Correct.
America.
Correct.
South Africa.
Correct.
Oh my god!
United Kings on there, so you could have got four.
Right.
So
I knew South Africa was in the book. I wasn't sure if it was in the film.
So you've got Japan, Egypt, France, South Africa, United Kingdom,
blimey, I didn't remember
United
all
States and Mexico.
Where'd France come into?
Oh, France is when they go in the border crossing, right? And Japan?
They're in Tokyo, in South Africa. Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently so.
Right.
Okay. Test one. Test so, question.
What do I get? 3 points.
So you get 3 points.
All right.
Yeah.
He's gonna fucking. Well, he's gonna destroy me on this.
Which means you start with this one.
Okay.
So round two, Moonraker.
Moonraker.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say 3.
Okay.
4.
Name them.
UK.
Yeah.
Brazil.
Yes.
Italy.
Yes.
France.
So if you can name one other, you get the points.
I'm assuming space doesn't count.
Space is not a country, so no.
No. Big opportunity here to get the points.
Oh, I do know.
America?
Didn't you say America?
No, you said France.
France, America's gets the points. Yeah.
I knew it was America.
Jax's Villa.
Yeah. He moved everything over there. Oh, okay.
France, they shot the movie in France and there's no scenes in France.
No.
Where's his villa? Oh, it is, it's in Cape Canaveral,
yeah,
isn't it?
He moves over a whole thing, doesn't he?
So yes. We have an unnamed African country, so you wouldn't have been able to get that one. But you've got UK, US, Italy.
Oh, if I'd have got unnamed African country, that would have been good.
Italy, Brazil and Russia.
Oh,
right.
And outer space as well, but it's not a country. So.
It's not, right, okay. Yeah. So that's 4 points for me.
Yeah, so you've got 7 points.
To nil.
Crying out.
But it's three more rounds, don't worry.
I've got to take the risk on these now.
And it's your go first, right?
Yeah.
The Living Daylights.
Ooh.
3.
So what do you think? 3? You think you're better that?
Oh, name them.
Well, UK.
Yeah.
Where did you go across the border? Switzerland.
It goes over.
Do I only have to name one? Morocco.
Correct.
Where's there's two countries you get across the border.
So,
is it
Austria? So.
Yeah,
I mean, the pre-titles credit is Gibraltar, which I can't
remember. Oh, yes,
no. So you could have gone to Gibraltar,
oh.
UK, Slovakia, Austria, Morocco.
I was trying to work out where we went across the border from Austria to...
Yeah, so it was Czechoslovakia border.
Oh.
Yeah, so Slovakia and Austria.
Right, okay. Right, well,
Austria,
I'm,
Morocco, Afghanistan.
How many got now?
And Pakistan.
10.
How many did I get there? 3. So 10.
3, he said 3, so you're
3,
on 10.
10-0.
So 10-0.
Okay.
And there's enough points for you can win.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to know all the countries.
You have to
go
bold. You have to do very well.
Okay.
There. Yeah. So, round 4, Tom Butler to go first. Die Another Day.
Ooh. My God. I'm going to say 3.
Okay.
5.
Name them.
Makes a difference now, does it? UK.
Yes.
South. North Korea.
Yes.
Where the hell was that stupid ice palace? That was in. God, is it in Iceland?
Yes.
He's
on 3. He needs to name 2 more.
Come on, the most obvious one.
Yeah, I can't believe you not said it first.
I was thinking of where it was filmed. It's there's one in.
Think of the.
Yeah.
I don't know what
I'm
doing.
Bongos. I'm doing bongos.
Bongos. Where are the bongos? Well, there's one in. This is hard. I was trying to think where Jinx comes out of. That
yeah,
is in,
yeah, there.
Oh, right, that is in the...
Don't say the. It's not the.
That's not Jamaica.
Is that a guess?
No, you can have the answer. Sorry, I'm not...
Oh, it passes over.
Cuba.
Cuba!
I was going to say Cuba.
For some reason, I was thinking Colombia.
Let me see. I'm trying to think if I can think of the other places where it is. So it's in Hong Kong.
So Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Yeah. And then, obviously, the North Korea scene takes place on the border.
So right, it's a South Korea.
Oh, that's a trick question.
So it's North Korea, South Korea. It's not a trick question. North Korea, South Korea, Hong Kong, Cuba, UK, Iceland.
Oh, right. So can I win it on this one? How many countries are on the next one?
So you can't.
15
so,
countries?
So round five is just for fun. It's
which Bond film has got 16 countries in it?
Casino Royale is the final round.
67.
I tried doing 67, I couldn't find out
there's not
where
many,
it was.
There's not many countries in Casino Royale, is there?
Right.
Is it me? I can tell you how many there are, if that helps. There's 9.
In Casino Royale. Is it me to guess? Or is
I can't
it
even
to,
win anyway.
To...
I can't win with 9, so it's irrelevant.
No, it's you to name your number.
3.
4.
Yeah, name them.
UK.
Yep.
Bahamas.
Yeah.
USA.
Yeah.
And... Oh, where is the casino? It is in... In the book, it's in France. But in the film, it's not. It's in... Is it Macedonia?
Oh, no.
I didn't get it, did it? It's in... it begins with an M.
Yeah.
Montenegro.
Montenegro. Wow, that's a good quiz.
I just had some points.
Yeah, you got some points.
Got some points, I'll take them.
Yeah.
5.
Yeah. What did you say? Macedonia? Pathetic.
So, it's the answer is Czech Republic, Pakistan, Uganda, Madagascar, Bahamas, UK, US, Montenegro, and Italy.
Very, of course.
Italy's a bit the end,
of course.
Isn't it?
Yeah. You could say Italy for the
I did have a tiebreaker.
Lake Garda. Is it Lake Garda?
Lake Como.
Lake Como. Lose my points.
That's your chance to win.
Lose my points.
The tiebreaker was going to be which is the only one not to feature the UK.
Which is the only one not in the UK, License to Kill.
Nope. That's got a scene in M's office in the UK.
But it's filmed in America.
Ah, but it's...
Okay.
That's
okay.
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 Which
what's
is
the only Bond film not sitting so, without in the UK?
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be one where the M scene is out of... Man with the Golden Gun.
No. You have any idea?
License to Kill.
Oh, he said
that.
I said that.
No, I meant the other one beginning with an L.
Live and Let Die.
It's You Only Live Twice. Because it takes place on the boat.
Yes.
Very good. That was a great quiz.
That was
Thank
a really
you,
good
Brendan.
Quiz. That was really good. Well done.
And if you're still with us, well done.
on hour 4.
Yep.
Okay.
So, I mean, that wraps up the podcast. So I hope you've had a good 2023.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Stuff.
And maybe we'll be back at some point in the future. Maybe next Christmas.
Yeah.
Come back. Mm. It's been fun doing it in person. I hope you enjoyed listening. And I've forgotten how we sign off the podcast.
It is chow in the end, but is there anything else to
and
say?
On that bombshell, you have been listening to the James Bond A-Z podcast.
Thanks a lot.
I've been Tom, he's been Tom, and he's been Brendan.
Ciao.
Cheers.
The James Bond A-Z podcast is hosted and produced by Tom Butler and Brendan Duffy, with music by Tom Ingemels and artwork by Helene Dolly. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please like and subscribe and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.